The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
And you and I have said this for a long time. The Rockets aren't winning a title with James Harden. If they believe that to be true, if there's people in that building who still think that James is going to win them a championship, then they should hold on to him. But my take is that they don't. And if you've got an opportunity to get him out of here and get 80 cents, 75 cents on the dollar, do it.
Well, because I think that 75 cents will be worth a dollar in 2 years. The Browns are, I always talk about them being front runners. They beat up on bad teams. This defense is awful. Nick Chubb's going to run for 400 yards, and so they'll put up a bunch of points, and the Texans will keep it close for a while, but I think the running game is going to kill them again.
I'll say this. The weather seems way, way, way in the favor of the Browns, because if there's 20-something mile-an-hour winds, now you're basically saying, who runs the ball better? I promise you it's not the Texans.
I think I know the answer to that one.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975, also at T McCarg 16 here for this segment. You can also watch us on Twitch. You can also text the show. And you missed the first 2 hours, some of what you missed. Good college football talk with Brad earlier. We're going to keep the college football talk going with our buddy Taylor McCarg. And Taylor, I guess, just came off another Rice cancellation. This is, I'm sure this is frustrating for you, but just as somebody who follows the sport, hey, there's a USA Today comment just came across, and I'm absolutely going to rip next segment. But basically, oh, they should just give up on this college football experiment. I mean, there's still, I mean, yes, it's frustrating, but we're still getting games in. I mean, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I think that take is similar to what you saw back in August, right? When there were a lot of the talking heads and a lot of the media around the country were the first ones to praise the Big Ten for their decision to and the Pac-12, it looked like for a while, to cancel their season. And then as the season's gone along, I think it's proven that to this point, there's been no catastrophic issues with teams get these outbreaks, or even if it's just a handful of kids and they recover and they move on. So, no, I don't think we need to, you know, fold up the remainder of the season. I think you got to give kudos to these administrations and coaching staffs and players for the buy-in to try and get a season in and roll with what you got. Like, we've talked about this on air multiple times. These fan bases and everybody associated in college football just have to get used to you're not going to get a normal season in any capacity. It may say you're going to play 10 games on your schedule and you may only end up with seven, and that's 2020. This idea that everybody's got to have this fair season, everybody's got to have the same number of games. If a game gets pushed, then they got to make it up. No, none of that is the case. Nobody deserves or is owed anything, but again, I give praise to the schools and the conferences that were the ones to say, we're going to try and figure this out.
What's it like, and you probably know this better than me, but what's it like for college athletes in 2020? Are these guys, I assume like at Rice, for example, is anybody doing on-campus learning or is everything virtual? Like, do the football players interact with any students other than other football players?
My understanding at Rice is there is, and I've driven through campus fairly recently where they have these, Rice actually got made fun of, you know, on Twitter for, it looked like there was going to be tents, right? They said, oh, they're going to have their students just bring a chair and be in a tent outside. Well, these are really nice tents. I mean, full AC, really nice displays inside. And so they're having kids in either the biggest auditoriums on campus or in these tents. So there is on or in-person learning, but some of these schools, you're right, it's all virtual. And I think your question about what is it like this year, I don't think there's any secret that you're seeing some outbreaks on some of these campuses because these kids you can only keep college kids contained or isolated for so long, and then Halloween hits, and just look on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook over Halloween. Look, it's not a mystery. All these kids were out doing stuff. If you're trying to play a football season, you probably shouldn't have been doing. But, hey, when I was 21 or 22, would I have been there? Probably. I mean, as much as that pains me to say it, these are college kids that, frankly, aren't afraid if they get it. So, yeah, I think it's the expectation is still really high for these kids. I mean, these coaches are putting a lot of pressure on them to stay inside, stay around just their teammates, but they're college kids.
Heck, man, it's hard enough for me as an old man to stay in all the time. I totally get it. But it is just a different season, and it just baffles me that there's people in sports media that don't want football, essentially. That they don't want anybody doing anything. It just makes no sense to me, but that's just me. What would you think is game of the week? We obviously don't have much in the SEC. CBS isn't going to have a game for the first time in forever. Of course, they got the golf tournament. And which one game stands out to you that you say, okay, this is game of the week. This is where I'd go if I had game day.
Well, first off, you mentioned game day. I actually love that they have taken it to Augusta. Some people have said that it's corny and they don't like it. I actually think it's phenomenal. I don't know if this is game of the week, but this is one that I'm eyeing because there's so many ramifications for this one. Pay attention to Notre Dame going on the road to BC. Boston College is not a bad team. I think that is a potential upset alert. I wouldn't actually take Boston College, but I'm going to be watching that one closely. And then you just look around. I think Arkansas, Florida is really interesting because Arkansas is playing at a high level where previously they really weren't. But some of the biggest games have obviously been canceled, which, you know, Rice La Tech, of course, is the one that champions that. I also like SMU and Tulsa out of the American Conference. That's a game that I'll be paying attention to. But there's not a, you know, last week, Clemson, Notre Dame, I watched that start to finish and then went back and watched it again just to dig into it and thought that was about as good a college football game as you're going to get in any season, much less a COVID year. But there's not a game like that this weekend.
Yeah, I found it interesting that you mentioned SMU Tulsa. That's a very interesting game in that conference. SMU's played 8 games, which I haven't seen too many teams that have played many games.
BYU's played like 20. It feels like.
Yeah, BYU has been around. The funny thing about BYU coming up is they've played a bunch of games. They have a bunch of experience. They're top of mind for everybody. They play this weekend, and then they have, I think it's 3 weeks off. They don't play a game again until the 12th of December. So that's going to be a long downtime, and I wonder about, you know, they've obviously been in the conversation for, okay, are they going to sneak into the Final Four? Are they going to be in a new – I think it's almost certain if they run the table, they'll be in a New Year's Bowl if we have bowls. But it's going to be interesting that they're going to just have this 3 weeks off in the middle of the season or towards the end of the year.
Well, you said it's almost a guarantee, but that they would play in a New Year's Six Bowl. But when you look at Cincinnati, still undefeated, Coastal Carolina, Marshall, still undefeated, Liberty, still undefeated. I mean, there's a lot of these teams this year, a lot of these teams that are from smaller schools that are playing a lot better than anyone would have expected. And mind you, that most of these schools in a regular year would have had some Power 5 school on their schedule that probably would have skull-bashed them, but they're here. Do you think that when it's all said and done that they could look at this as a season where more than one of those teams ends up getting a nod for a New Year's Six?
I think the best chance for multiple teams out of the group of five to get in has more to do with you might have some of these top-tier teams. If they have a COVID issue with a bowl game, I wouldn't be shocked if you see certain teams just say, we're either not going to play in a bowl, or you have an issue week of and stuff gets shuffled around. The group of five teams that you mentioned, the one that people need to really pay attention to if they're not already, is Cincinnati. And the biggest reason, they are top five in scoring defense. And a couple of those teams that are ahead of them have only played a game or two. Out of the teams that have played and played a bunch of games, Marshall and Cincinnati are top five in scoring defense out of conferences that are known for shootouts. Conference USA and the American Athletic Conference. Go back and look at Cincinnati on tape against SMU and Memphis. They hold these teams to under 13 or 10 points. And they're playing at a really high level on the defensive side of the ball. I think Cincinnati, out of all of these teams, including BYU, who I know is not group of five, out of all of these non, you know, sort of power five conference teams, Cincinnati is the one that I think could give the big guys, the Clemsons of the world, actually give them problems.
Yeah, that they've got a power five defense and a good one. And now their offense has actually been fantastic, too. I really like Cincinnati. I think the thing is that I think hurts them and BYU. Long shot for the playoffs, obviously. I think it hurts A&M a little bit. Notre Dame beating Clemson, if they wind up coming back and Clemson barely beats them in the championship game, aren't both those teams probably in the playoff now? And then it's Alabama, Ohio State. That's the end of it.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think if you're an A&M fan, the ideal scenario, if you're, let's take A&M for example, you have Ohio State win out and you have Clemson beats Notre Dame. You need Notre Dame to lose somewhere else down the stretch or play poorly down the stretch. They still have to play BC and Wake Forest. So then Clemson wins their conference, Alabama wins out, and then you're sitting there in the fourth spot and you say, okay, do we take a one-loss Alabama or do we take a one-loss Notre Dame? I actually tend to think that the voters, if you look at who A&M has and how they're playing, there's a chance for Notre Dame to earn the voters' respect because they still got to go on the road and beat Auburn. And that's a big one that even though they're not going to play in a championship game most likely, if you win that one and Notre Dame sputters down the stretch, I think that's their best chance.
I think another good chance that could open things up for like a team like Texas A&M would be if somehow Florida wins the SEC and knocks Alabama out. And I don't know if Alabama gets in anyways at that point, like if a one-loss Alabama gets in over one-loss A&M, because they did have the head-to-head, but then you'd have to weigh in, well, A&M lost to Alabama in week two. Alabama lost to Florida yesterday. Like, which way do you go? And my other thought is, and it obviously, like with Clemson, Trevor Lawrence gets COVID, they're a different team. What happens if, you know, during selection week, it comes out that Justin Fields has COVID? Are you putting Ohio State in? Like, I mean, or do you treat them like a different team?
Yeah, it's going to be a nightmare down the stretch. My opinion is if you're going to have the playoffs, When you pick those four teams, you make sure that you have those four teams play and have them play at, you know, as close to full strength as you can get them. I think you push this back as long as it takes to make that happen. If you get into these scenarios where you have, okay, we have a COVID outbreak and there's a forfeit, that would be the worst possible scenario. And I don't think the NCAA is going to sign off on, or the playoff committee is going to sign off on, okay, we have an outbreak with one team, we're going to drop this one and we're going to add in the fifth spot into the playoff. I don't think they're going to mess with any of that. I think the most realistic scenario to me is as soon as you can play them, and also don't do this. Normally we give a break between the end of the regular season and then the playoff. If these guys are healthy, play the playoff, have 1 week off, and play the national championship. Don't do a two-week gap in between. Don't give these kids over holiday break any opportunity to go out and be around anybody else other than their teammates, but keep them in a more or less a bubble to get this thing over the goal line and finalize this season.
Well, it feels like even bowl season in general, like normally they announce all the bowl games and then you've got like 6 weeks worth of bowl games. It seems like it's just this drawn out thing. And then finally you get to the games that actually matter. My thing is once they decide who the four playoff teams are, schedule them for like a week or two down the road and get it done. Don't, like, because like you said, the longer they're sitting around waiting, the more chances are that something's going to go wrong.
Yeah, if you get normally your championship week this week, I think it moves around a little bit. But if you have them play the 12th, the 17th, I think it's the 17th now that most of these championship games are on, then they have a week and then get this underway. Don't have this drawn out to where you're not playing the first round of the playoffs until almost New Year's and then another 2 weeks or a week. Immediately go into the playoff and then have the national championship. And for bowl games, that's the one that, in my opinion, is the easiest thing. I could see a fraction of the normal bowl games being played this year, especially with this uptick in COVID spike that we've seen across college football and across the country. that's the easiest one to put aside and say, look, most of these bowl games, outside of to the players and coaches and some of the fans, most of these bowl games people don't really care about that much. I could totally see a lot of these bowl games not being played at all.
All right, that's Taylor McCarg, college football analyst for ESPN, former Rice quarterback, joins us every Thursday. And sorry for it being so COVID-related today, but that's kind of the story of the week. But great stuff as always, and look forward to talking to you next week.
I appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a good weekend.
All right, you too. All right. Quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Is The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN. ESPN. 97.5.
Hey guys, it's AJ Hoffman. It's fall and we could all use a little awesome. Well, our friends at Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collections for guys, guaranteed to upgrade your life. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear, Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every month. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. Who wouldn't want awesome stuff sent to them every month, right? It's like Christmas on your doorstep. Whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads for when the temperature dips, no matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. To get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them to pick the right Box of Awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BLITZ at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, promo code BLITZ for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. As a locally based company, Gow Media believes in the concept of supporting local businesses, jobs, in our community. So we're asking you, our listeners, to hashtag keep it local. When you're shopping, eating out, taking out, or buying services, consider a local business. And share your great experiences with hashtag keep it local. Listen for sponsors that support ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, then hashtag keep it local with them. Learn more at ESPN975.com/keep it local. Late hits, Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock coming up next. Jason's already out there in the bullpen warming up, getting ready for his start. Should be entertaining to hear that.
I'm guessing they're going to talk a lot about the Rockets today. I know, Jason is a James Harden guy. I'm wondering how he feels about this. Here's what I'll say. This is something that I think the brass there in Houston should consider. Dwight Howard wanted out. Chris Paul wanted out. Russ Westbrook wants out. The guy that was here that whole time, all those other guys, all those other top players wanted out, is James Harden. At some point, you have to say, why don't these guys want to play with him? And listen, if he can't win a championship with those guys, he ain't winning one without them. I mean, the Rockets won't be better if they ship Russ out for a bunch of, draft picks. You have to want. I'm kind of the belief now that if you're going to hit a soft reset, you need to do the full thing.
Yeah, well,
if you're going to get rid of Russ, and James. Do the whole thing. Start over.
They talked about that last night, and both of them were in agreement. Blow it up. Get rid of both of them. See what you can do. Recouping some picks and stuff like that. If you have to take on contracts for a year to make the money match. Get those players, let them, go out there and chuck up bricks the whole season and then start rebuilding the next year.
Yeah, we, with Patrick and I did the TV thing this morning. We're actually in agreement on that. It's like maybe it is time to hit the whole reset button. So, but it'll be interesting to get their take because there's more stuff that's come out today.
Yep.
All right, a few things to get to. First, we need to do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, we haven't talked about these in a while, but guess who's back?
Teletubbies.
Murder Hornets.
Oh. Close.
Yeah, well, if you remember, this was early in the Rona when the Murder Hornets thing came. It turns out they're not.
I got stung by one.
Did you really?
Yep. Didn't die. Hard as nails.
I see. The Hornet or?
Me.
Oh, okay.
But like, literally, for hours, I had to go to the hospital. They say if you're erect for more than, yeah.
It's
an interesting side effect.
Yeah.
Hmm.
They're actually now trying to drain the venom of the hornet.
That's what I was about to say.
And inject it directly into the penis.
That's what we should do.
What country did they come from? Was it Japan or China?
Japan. So
maybe that's what they were using them for.
Probably. Never mind. I'm not going to say that. The Washington State Department of Agriculture destroyed the first discovered nest in the United States. They found about 500 hornets at various stages of their life cycles, including approximately 200 queens. I don't know hornets, and I really don't know much about flying things that sting other than that I want to kill them because they want to sting me. But is that common to have that many queens out of 500 hornets?
I don't know. I'm not a...
Because I kind of thought the queen was the one that could kind of pick what... Maybe I'm thinking of ants, but they get to pick who they want. They bang who they want, and then they spit out a few pups, and then, yeah. But apparently 200 queens.
You don't know anything about...
No, I don't.
Hornets.
I don't. That's why I'm saying. Sven Erik Spijker, who does know something about it, he's an entomologist with the State Department of Agriculture.
He said, allegedly, he knows.
Yeah, he said, we got there just in the nick of time. We do believe there are additional nests. When you see all, be it a relatively small nest like this, be able to pump out 200 queens, it does give one a little bit of a pause. Okay, so he's scared of 200 queens, too. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
228 says, Fred talked about traffic being back. Stuck on westbound I-10 in Baytown. All lanes closed. 1.5 hour delay. Ooh. Damn. That's not good.
Wow. Well, going that way.
We're still in the air.
Huh?
Could be worse. We're still in the air.
That's true.
That is true. And we'll take you home the whole way. How about that? Man, I wanted to get to this USA Today story, and we're almost out of time in this segment, so I'll probably do it next segment.
That's a radio tease.
Yeah, you know, it's all professional and whatnot. But I was just scrolling through Twitter, and I mentioned it when Taylor was on. But they basically, I'm sick of these people in the media who don't want sports. They're just, shut it down. Shut it down. That's your only answer. Oh, it's not worth the risk. Well, how many of these kids have gotten seriously ill from this?
Well, I know there was one guy who had it. He had some heart thing, and he ended up dying. But
you know what? Every year, there's some kid that has a heart thing.
Yeah.
That winds up. You know, and I mean, I don't mean to sound callous about it, but it happens every year.
I do think every kid should be getting tested for they need to get these echocardiograms run. Like, there needs to be some serious testing. And if you've got any kind of issues or concerns about a kid, just say, listen, dude, we're honoring your scholarship. You can't play with us right now.
I think there's ways to do it. I think they're pulling it off as best they can. But let's see the name of this writer. It's someone called Michelle R. Martinelli. And of course, yeah, she pulls out all the greatest hits of the people who want to just cancel stuff. Here's the look at the canceled or postponed Week 11 games and why. And then as coronavirus cases in the U.S. continue to break records, and COVID-related hospitalizations hit an all-time high, lists the number of deaths and lists the number of cases. And then says, college football, for as much as people love it and live for it, and I'm guessing not you, Michelle, because you said you would have said for as much as we love it and live for it, just isn't worth the risk. We still don't know all that much about the novel virus, but we do know that the outcomes of contracting it are not limited to dying or not dying.
That is true.
Yeah.
I will say is, you know, these Notre Dame fans running on the field after a win, like, that's a way to get less football. I said that last week, Monday. I stand by it.
And turns out that they didn't spread any from it, at least so far.
So far.
Miracle. But, yeah, and I keep seeing people talk about this potential six-week lockdown. Man, do not do this, Harris County. Do not do this. You're just pushing it all back. It's like getting payday loans. You're going to have to pay for it at some point. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 92.5.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. I respond to a couple texters. Fred, we get it. You like sports. Get out of the damn forest. Tell you what, I'll just say I probably spend as much time talking to doctors and listening to experts on this as I have with anything. And, you know, I
like to go with my gut.
Well, I listen, and I get you guys want to shut everything down and lock yourselves in your homes, and good luck to you for that. But there's a balance here between that kind of crap and the damage that we're doing to our society long term that we haven't even begun to see the full impact from, that none of you people care about. And if, you know, people are dying. Yeah, they're dying. And they're dying from the flu, and they're dying from everything else. And we can be smart and do things to keep it from getting crazy. But your whole shut it down mentality, I'm telling you, long term, it's dumb. And there are ways to compromise. And, you know, just saying, well, let's not play football because somebody might get COVID. Okay. Yeah, you're way wrong on this, Fred. You can save a lot of lives still. You go save lives. That's your job. Honestly, when you throw these numbers out there, you got to give me some context. Like one of the things I was listening to today, there were 15 deaths in Ontario yesterday. Well, 12 of them were in assisted living homes. Okay, those are people whose life expectancy was pretty damn short to begin with. I mean, you expect to live 1 or 2 years in those homes. So there's got to be a context to it. Who's dying from it? Why are they dying from it? And of course, there's outliers. And how do you keep from getting the disease to those people? That's what we need to be focused on. Not, oh, it's getting bad again. Let's shut it down. Yeah, that's just such a weak-ass answer. I'm sorry.
Shut you down!
What was your radio tease?
Oh, what the hell? What was I going to talk about?
USA Today article.
I did it. We wound up doing it. That's what I was talking about. Yeah.
I thought you were going to go for a much more...
No. And they're basically saying that person's right, which, you know, it's not worth the risk. Okay. I respectfully disagree with you. I think that having some kind of normalcy is important. And you know what? It's their individual choices to make that risk. And if they want to play, and there's a lot of players who didn't, a lot of guys opted out, totally fine with that. There's a lot of schools opting out, totally fine with that. But if they choose to play, then, you know, how about they do the best they can to keep from spreading it? And when they does spread, you stop. So, somebody said, yeah, when you're this close to a vaccine, it's a smart thing to do, Fred. Is it? Are we close to a vaccine? Because when that came out, what I read was you got a couple more months of tests, then you got to go into mass production. People like us probably aren't getting a vaccine for a year. So we shut down the whole thing for another year. That's real genius. Yeah, well thought out. So,
Fred, heard you talking about you and AJ were on opposite sides of tonight's game in the NFL. Know you like to refer back to segment, but care to quickly share or tell which segment? Remember what segment it was?
I don't know. I'm on the Titans. You're on the Colts.
Yes.
So, that's good enough.
I think it was like 4:45. It was after we talked to Alex.
Yeah.
That sounds right. But Fred made some good points.
AJ made some good points. I don't feel strong enough to go drop money on it. I threw it into a teaser, a little three-part teaser for tonight. And I used it in my office pool and in my super contest. So, but I'm not putting actual money into it beyond that. So there. And I'm only probably playing that game because there was one of the college games that I wanted and I couldn't do.
What was the other game that just got canceled? UAB?
Yeah, UAB North Texas. Done.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, they were going to die anyway. The weakest of weak-ass cop-outs. Guys, you do realize we all die. Every single one of us. And people who are in their 90s and old and sick, they die. Every one of us is going to die. Get it through your damn head.
Speak for yourself.
That's the thing. You're not putting any context on it. Oh, look at all these deaths. Well, which ones were susceptible? Which ones were sick? Which ones had cancer and were going to die anyway? Give me those numbers, and then I'll listen to your stupidity. How's that? So the only people that want to shut it down are lucky enough to have a cushy enough job to work from home. That is another big issue. And guess what? I can do it. And I don't want to. I don't think it's the right thing to do. But I think there's a middle ground here. But, yeah, you can't be the person who bitches about don't shut it down and then be the person who bitches about having to wear a mask and social distance. You can't be that. I'm sorry. You know, if you don't want to shut down, you got to follow those rules. And I still submit it's old people who aren't wearing their damn masks.
Can we stop talking depressing Rona and you can give us a Masters update?
Okay.
Or I can give the Masters update.
No. I'll do the Masters update.
I know you'd like to do that.
I need the music. And we go to... Well, now I got to find the damn leaderboard. You caught me off guard with that. So this is your Masters update for round one from Augusta, Georgia, where they're all socially distanced. And right now, they're all socially distanced from your leader, which is Paul Casey at -7.
Pretty good.
That's not bad. They only use last names on the Masters website. So Simpson.
Well, that's Webb Simpson.
Is it Scott Simpson or Webb Simpson?
Webb Simpson.
Homer Simpson.
No, not Homer Simpson. Terrible golfer.
5-under. Also at 5-under, Schauffele.
That's Xander Schauffele.
Thomas.
Justin Thomas.
At 4-under, Matsuyama.
Hideki Matsuyama.
4-under, Westwood.
That's Lee Westwood.
He still plays?
Apparently
that guy,
so.
That guy's got to be 170. Also at 4-under, Louis Oosthuizen. And we go to tied for 5th at 4-under. There might be a name you recognize.
Tom Woods.
Fratelli.
Dylan Fratelli.
Reed.
Yes, Patrick Reed.
Wolf.
Big Bad.
Scott.
Adam.
And someone named Tiger Woods.
It's Tom Woods. I think you might be. They only have last names on yours, right?
L. Tigre, yeah.
Yeah, Tom Woods.
Yeah, Tigre Woods.
Lee Westwood, by the way, is only 47.
Really?
Only 47?
God, feels like he's been around forever.
Old. How old's Tiger?
44?
Yeah.
Man.
It's not that old.
Golfers are old. You didn't admit that Bryson DeChambeau.
Everybody wants redneck golf. Bryson DeChambeau, he's a favorite going in.
I saw he was like, he had a really crappy start and then turned it around and picked up a bunch of strokes.
He's 2-under.
That's pretty good.
So he's only 5-under, I think, if he can just get that putter going.
I think I have a new favorite golfer.
That's a big old boy, you know.
Do you see tied at 13th at 3-under? Do you see that name? Jana Watanand. Do you know what their first name is?
What's that?
Jazz.
See, I don't think that's kind of
Jazz Jana Wadananand. Wadananand?
I don't think that's the kind of feller we want winning at Augusta, Georgia.
Jana Wadananand.
No.
Oh, I love that name. Jazz Jana Nanawanatan.
We need a person like a Fowler or a Rose. Those are the kind of people we want to see win at Augusta National.
24-year-old from
Rose?
Thailand.
Isn't Rose British?
Yes.
They don't want him to win.
Where do you think we came from? Oh, boy.
We will not surrender to the Redcoats, sir.
They want Charles Howell the Third.
Well, Matt Kuchar.
Charles Howell the
Matt Third. Matt Kuchar is the darling from Georgia.
Charles Howell the Third is actually the nephew of Thurston Howell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little known.
Someone like Brent Snedeker. That sounds like a golfer that they want to win there.
Where's Phil?
Well, that fella's left-handed.
One under.
That fella's left-handed. Tied for 34th. Oof. We don't like left-handers at Augusta, Georgia. So.
Rory McIlroy, even. Who was the golfer that kind of... I think he was a University of Texas kid.
Jordan Spieth.
What happened to him?
He is plus one, I believe.
Remember when he was supposed to be
He was like the next Tiger.
Yeah.
He sucks now.
They say everyone who won a major while Tiger was gone was the next Tiger.
Yeah. Well, Jordan Spieth ain't it.
Well, remember, it was Rory for a while.
Rory for a while. Jordan Spieth was it for a while.
He is plus two, tied for 72.
He stinks.
Yeah. Oh, well, that is your...
Sergio Garcia is not playing because he's got the Rona.
Yeah, he's got the Rona. And, you know, he's Spanish anyway, so...
What's that mean?
Don't want him winning.
Also tied...
Spanish flu?
No, the fellas at Augusta National don't want him winning.
Well, there's a Brit winning right now, so...
Yeah.
Also tied at 72, Brooks Koepka.
That's not very good either. He's supposed to be a big shot, too, isn't he? He was supposed to be the next Tiger.
Bubba Watson tied 64th.
Bubba Watson just sucks now. Well, I guess it is interesting that Tiger's at least in the hunt. If he starts sucking,
I mean, we're one day in.
Yeah, but I won't care if he's not close.
Yeah, I'm not sure I care anyway. I'm just trying to.
If there's, you know, what do they call overtime in golf? If they've got to go extra holes,
sudden death,
and it's Paul Casey and Xander Schauffele. Guess who won't care? Everybody.
If it really were a sudden death, though? Like, if you lost a hole?
Now, that'd be interesting.
You get beheaded?
Yeah.
I'd be down for
you
that.
Get eaten by the alligator from Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
The one-eyed alligator?
Yeah.
But he doesn't have a head anymore.
Yeah, he got...
Happy took his head. He took your eye, but I took his head. And then Chubbs died.
And... Yeah, I honestly don't care about the Masters, except I get to do three different voices during that bit. So there. All right, one segment left to go. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back?
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And I don't have a positive Rona update today. All five of our key numbers were up. So
That sucks.
2 days in a row. So hopefully tomorrow it'll trend backwards. And just one last thing. I'm a 53-year-old diabetic with a lot of years ahead of me, but that could kill me in a heartbeat. And, yeah, no, you're the kind of person we need to protect. And I think we can do that. You know, and some people, you know, we have to be on more lockdown than others. But it's called having a discussion and compromising. That's all. All right, let's do Hoffman on Hollywood.
Let's do it. Apparently, Hollywood doesn't want to make a bunch of movies right now. Yet,
why not?
Well, because the Roni is, you know, shutting down movie theaters and things like that, and they're having a hard time making money. But one thing they did decide to remake is a new Scorpion King movie.
God, I saw this.
Dwayne Johnson and Danny Garcia's Seven Bucks Productions are looking to relaunch a new Scorpion King movie and have set Jonathan Herman, who wrote the script to Straight Outta Compton, to write the script. They'll produce along with Hiram Garcia. Johnson's booked through 2022, so the studio will look to tap a new actor to play the action hero as well as director to steer the ship. So they've got Dwayne Johnson involved, but he's not going to be in the movie. That's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
He's just going to be a producer.
Because let me tell you, if I were a producer, you know what? I would like a producer, basically they invest in a movie, and then if the movie does well, they get money back. You know a good way to guarantee your movie's going to do well? Have Dwayne Johnson starring in it. And like, who has control over if they could put Dwayne Johnson in that movie? How about Dwayne Johnson? I don't get it.
Yeah, and I don't know why you need to remake that anyway.
And they're saying, well, there's a possibility he could make a cameo in the film.
Oh, God.
Dude, just go in there, put on the stupid costume, be the Scorpion King, and make money.
Exactly.
Or just don't redo Scorpion King.
Yeah.
No one's clamoring for that.
Remember when they redid The Mummy? Nobody wanted that.
Who do you think should be the next host of Jeopardy?
I think I would be perfect, but I don't want to follow Trebek. I want somebody else to do it for a year, and then I'll replace him.
Okay. The favorite to be the next host of Jeopardy, even money, Ken Jennings.
That makes sense.
The all-time Jeopardy hero. George Stephanopoulos, plus 325. LeVar Burton, plus 900.
I don't mind that.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, plus 1400. I feel like he's got too much stuff going on.
Yeah,
he's a busy guy.
He's like the science genius of the planet right now.
Pat Sajak, plus 1600.
I don't think that works for him.
Alex Faust, plus 1800. Laura Coates, Ryan Seacrest, Tom Bergeron, all plus 1800. Jimmy Kimmel, Katie Couric at plus 2000. Mina Kimes, plus 2200. Josh would love that.
Yeah, I bet he goes and makes that bet right now.
Jane Lynch, plus 2500. Please don't be Jane Lynch. I've enough of Jane Lynch already.
You know, Katie Couric is interesting because she's older. You kind of want someone a little more mature in that role.
Neil Patrick Harris, plus 2500.
No, thank you. Wrong, Neil.
Trevor Noah, Wolf Blitzer, plus 2,800.
Wolf Blitzer's interesting.
Drew Carey, plus 3,300.
Oh, get out of here with that.
Drew Carey sucks at hosting The Price is Right. You're going to give him the Jeopardy gig? You're going to promote him? Give me a break. Chris Harrison, Howie Mandel, John Stewart, Piers Morgan, Steve Harvey, plus 4,000.
Ooh, John Stewart's intriguing.
I don't like Howie Mandel.
I don't either.
Aaron Andrews, Nick Cannon, plus 5,000. I see Nick Cannon up there with his turban on.
Yeah.
Be an interesting sight.
So I saw a story that George Stephanopoulos said he wanted to do it, but he wanted to do one episode and then go back to all his political stuff on ABC.
Well, you gotta commit.
I want to do it one time and just so I can say I did it.
Oh, well, there's a lot of us that feel that way.
Three at plus 6,600. Al Michaels, Joe Rogan, Rosie Perez.
No. Rogan, maybe.
Plus 10,000, Oprah.
No.
James Holzhauer, plus 25,000.
I don't know if he's charming enough.
Well, here's a charmer for you. This is the last man listed on the odds. Plus 100,000. I mean, it almost makes sense to put a dollar down on this, just in case. Donald Trump.
I'm in. I am in.
Can you imagine him correcting some, like, contestant who has three different PhDs and trying to correct
that? That answer was the worst. You were wrong. You didn't answer in the form of a question. You're not smart. You're not smart.
This candidate won Pennsylvania in the 2020 election. Who is Joe Biden? Wrong. Incorrect.
You are fake news.
Well, there you go. Sinead O'Connor. Guess where she's going?
Hell.
Rehab.
Oh.
Same thing. For a year. Serious rehab. A year-long treatment program for trauma and addiction. She's always been kind of crazy. So she says she's going into a one-year trauma and addiction treatment program because I've had a very traumatic 6 years, and this year was the end of it, but now recovery starts. She grew up with a lot of trauma and abuse from which she never really healed. That's what she explains in her tweets. So she's off to rehab. She says, I never really learned. I went straight from that into the music business and never learned how to make a normal life. Well, I agree with her on that. And then finally, I don't know if this is a good sign or not. The top-rated program, and this is, think about it, a week after a heavily contested election, what do you think the top-rated program in the entire country was? The Bachelorette.
Oh, of course. I was trying to figure out what goofball show was on last week.
This Is Us came back. And it was huge last year. It was the top show all last year. And it went up against the Bachelorette. And Bachelorette dominated.
And the wife was watching that. And it was so awful. It was like every cliche from the Rona.
And Hannity, number one on cable.
Doesn't surprise me. All right. Guess what? Happy hour tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, baby.
We'll try not to mess this thing up. Great job, Aaron. Great job, AJ.
Josh is going to chug that pumpkin beer.
Yeah.
We still got a couple of pickle beers left.
Oh, and I got to go pick up those Bloody Mary pickle beers. That guy tweeted me and told me where his store is. I can get there.
All right. Braddock and Creighton coming up next. Till tomorrow, stay Rona free, bitches. Nothing can stop these
lonely tears from falling. ESPN 97.5.